Hey guys, welcome back to the Moms Can Relate podcast, a platform for mothers like you, like me. We get to share our exciting and dynamic journey of motherhood. My name is Debbie Bisoun and I am the founder and presenter of this amazing platform. I want to say thank you guys so very much for your patience. Thanks for the messages. Thanks for the nudges. Debbie, when are we getting another episode? I've heard it all, right? And I'm really trying, guys. Josiah is my first child, so I'm still getting used to being a mommy, no lie. And I'm trying to find the balance, which is, you know, this word balance is like, is it attainable? Is it not attainable? But I'm going after trying to find a rhythm. Let me say that. A rhythm that works so that I can accommodate all my responsibilities and my priorities, which is, of course, Sai. And, you know, my day-to-day and the things that makes me happy. So, in service to you guys, because I did commit to ensuring that I, you know, I come on here and I engage you and I give you some information and I create the space for us to have dialogue and conversations and learn something new and learn how to be better at our responsibilities as mothers, as human beings. So here I am with another episode. This one in particular, though, I wanted to bring into focus as the academic year has started, yes, for January, and for most mothers, they're also right now prepping themselves, their child, to find a school for the first time. Now, I wanted to bring into focus as well that school environment, because for me, I can give you this quickly, for me, I was very concerned about trying to find the right school for my son. Having done some travels, I realized that it is beneficial for your children to have a second language. Oftentimes, second languages are introduced to kids, you know, at the primary school level. And having done linguistics and language communication at the University of the West Indies, one of the things that we learned there was that kids, they have the ability to learn over 50 languages at a very, very young age if it's introduced to them when they are very young, as early as zero, as early as one, you know, because their brains are wired to do that, to assimilate that kind of information, and it becomes normative for them. And we understand now on a larger scale what that means for their future. Having a child that is able to have more than one languages will enable him or her to function in different parts of the world, in different spaces. You know, really put them at an advantage. So when I got pregnant with Sai, I started looking for a school that was able to teach Spanish as well as English simultaneously. And I came across Fundaciones. And I actually called them while I was pregnant with Sai. Don't judge me. But this for me was very important. And he's been going there since he was 18 months old. You know, and I called before, I inquired about what I needed to inquire about in terms of, you know, costings, exactly where the location is, what they offer, that kind of thing. Enrolled him in the institution. The first day I brought Sai over there, my bike is passing. Oi. I'm doing this from the comfort of my home. Oi. All right. Thank you, Mr. Batman. So when the first day I brought Sai over there, one of the things that I noticed was they were actually bringing them on the playground, and it was actually the group that he was going to join at 18 months. And my son, my dearly loving, wonderful son, who's always mommy, 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 he let go of my hand and he went with the class of kids that he did not know and the Tia teacher that he did not know at all. Went with them on the playground and he did not want to leave at all. That for me was a nice signaling that, you know, this is an environment that he would enjoy. And after going through the orientation, looking at the classrooms and the facilities and meeting the teachers there, I realized that this school was good for him. I just want to say and give this disclaimer that this is in no way at all an ad for the school, nor am I prompted to do this podcast about Fundaciones solely because I have Sai there, but because I wanted to speak to the journey, you know, of finding a school, an institution that is perfect and works for you. Some of the things to look out for, and some of the things as well to understand while you have the child enrolled in a school as well. I'm hoping that you will find this podcast very valuable and entertaining. And I must apologize for some audio inconsistencies, but the most valuable thing is this information. So please pardon the lengthy introduction. Let's get started. Welcome to the Moms Can Relate podcast. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Rachel McDonald. She is the founder and principal and head cook and bottle washer.
I'm the principal.
You're not the principal? Head cook and bottle washer. Okay.
I'm trying not to ask.
That's what you put on paper?
2020.
That's what you put on paper? Head cook and bottle washer? I see you do groundsman work, I see you do security guard work, I see you direct traffic, I see you at the desk doing admin work. No, I haven't seen you do that, yeah.
Exactly, you're in my quiet office.
Exactly.
Recording with me.
Yeah, because you seem to...
It's a new year.
It's a new year and everything seems so good. And I mean... No, I love it. I absolutely love it. And as a mommy who, of course, is a part of the Fondaciones family, I love the institution completely. And my son adores it. And he stops crying now when he's leaving me. So that's good.
Well, we love that you love it. And we want to thank you for your support and your endorsements. And I just want to say thank you for choosing to talk with me this morning.
Of course. Fondaciones was my pick from I was in my belly. Like, I remember calling the school when... Yes,
this is true.
I did.
It's true. Yes.
I called when I was 9 months pregnant.
So you are definitely one of those moms that we get calls from who haven't given birth yet.
No, it's not 9 months. It's like, well, 6 months. When I was in my 6 months,
You're one of those moms that are like, hi, okay, how old is your child? Well, he's not born yet.
Yeah, yeah. I was, I'm gonna tell you why.
You haven't been that
Let me tell you why.
Since you've joined our family officially.
No.
You're really cool, very easy. You know, you communicate, you talk to us.
Yes, I do. I'm very clear. I try to, anything that I want or anything I don't have, you know, clarity on. I'm gonna call them and ask. I'm not gonna necessarily ask in the whole of the WhatsApp group though, but I'm going to message.
I'm gonna message
one of the nannies and say, hey, Tia. I say, hey, Tia, about this, you know. So yeah, but let me tell you though, for me, what caught me about Fondaciones was the what you were offering. You were offering the opportunity for kids to learn in English and Spanish simultaneously. And because I did linguistics, I understood how much easier it was for a child to learn and adopt languages. Exactly.
It's so much easier when they're young.
They can learn up to 50 languages, you know.
They can. I mean, their brains are literally sponges. I heard when I first experimented with the idea of doing a bilingual program, because truth be told, when I started Fondaciones, we started off only doing extracurricular, out of school, after school stuff.
Oh.
So we were like this one-stop extra lessons shop in like 2009. It was cool. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of my friends had kids and they're like, yo, we're sending them to you. So I really have a degree in pre-kindergarten primary education. Like, I can teach babies.
Yeah.
And I was like, but there are really and truly so many good preschools, like, especially in our vicinity. Why do you want to send them to me? They're like, no, man, do something with them. Teach them Spanish. And I was like, yeah, I could teach them Spanish. I'm a Spanish teacher, duh. And I was like, but I've never really taught babies. So it was like a big experiment. I did it all on my own. I was like, let me teach. Let me be the one in the classroom. Let me see how it works, how it doesn't work. And after a couple of weeks, when I heard them starting to argue with each other in Spanish.
Oi.
So once I heard, escucha no man, escucha is Spanish for listen.
Listen,
no man,
yeah.
I heard it, choman. The no man, I was like, yep, context.
Nice.
I'm like, yep, context, vocabulary, we are on the way. And then you hear them sometimes just bust out in some Spanish and or some song or some rhyme or some jingle. And I'm like, yeah, they're learning. And they get it quick. I mean, this morning I was doing circle time with preschool 3 and preschool 4. So they're on average about 2.5, 3 years old. And one of the teachers were like, oh, we made up this song yesterday in English. Put it in Spanish now. And we put it in Spanish right away. And the kids learned it in a matter of seconds.
Wow.
Right, literally. And I was like, wow, we should really talk about how we just make things up on the spot and how the children just receive it, regurgitate it. I mean, they were all around walking on the
street.
En el avión, todo el mundo, en el avión. And they're getting it. They're doing the actions for the plane. They're showing you their alas, their wings. And they're telling you, arriba is up and en el cielo, in the sky. So I guess it's also how you teach it to them.
Yeah.
So using lots of rhymes and using lots of actions. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, 18-month-old kids are not going to know that sit is siéntate or siéntate is sit. They're not going to know what sit is unless you link it with an action. They're
of course.
Not going to know what get up is or stand unless you
levántate.
Mm-hmm. You know, levántate. You have to literally stand up out of your chair. And I think how we teach it or how we encourage children to understand and to find the meaning is what really matters.
You know, as you said, that is interesting because I realize, so Sai got a nice little iPad thingy for his Christmas, you know. Yeah, no, and he loves technology, mercy. So when he's now going through YouTube, which he can at 2.
Isn't this amazing how they can?
It's crazy to me. It's like living, I'm sitting beside him last night and he's just finding the video that he wants to watch. And I'm finding now that he goes for the ones in Spanish as well.
But listen.
Like he goes for the ones that are in Spanish.
But you know what is cool about learning Spanish at an early age? And I've taught Spanish from 18 months right up to 18 years because I'm an IB Spanish trained teacher as well. My high school kids, once I put them in a different environment and I've taken them on field trips to Mexico, to Spain, they freeze when they hear a different accent. So we'll go to Mexico and the Mexican accent is completely different from the Castilian accent in Spain.
Right.
And they're just like, and my babies are just like communicating still. It don't matter what accent, they completely get it and they're not inhibited by the differences in accents. The older the kid, the harder it is for them to make that transition.
Yeah, because I remember when Spanish was introduced to me while at high school, I was like, Lord of mercy, I've got to learn all of this. No, I'm past tense. And oh God, I don't want to. It was hard. It was like, oh God, what me have to learn this whole thing? No, I did Japanese for one semester at UE and that was it. I had to learn how to write in it. As like, it was at the end of the semester that I started to understand it, no lie. So trust me, it was rough. So when I thought about, because I'm thinking ahead from my child, and I'm thinking about the kind of world that he's going to be living in at, you know, at that age, and exactly,
and trying to give him the support that he will need in order to function effectively.
And when I hear the Prime Minister insisting still that, you know, we hold Spanish as a second language, you know, and when I look at how the world is changing, foreign language, but when we understand how the world is changing and moving, it's important.
But you know what was fun for me in, and I've been teaching Spanish officially maybe since about 2003, and you know what is really cool for me and what I have noticed and what has been a part of my journey and part of my reason for continuing to do it is that when you sensitize children to the differences that exist with a foreign language, you get a chance to really sensitize them to these cultural differences.
Exactly.
And I found, coming out of university, going straight into a teaching job, that a lot of our kids were very close-minded, they were very narrow-minded, they didn't know what happened outside of Jamaica. Maybe one or two have traveled and they've watched foreign TV and cable and so they think they know. But the minute they go to another culture, they're like, so why she said that? And why and I'm like, dude, we need to get our kids in a more, just a little bit more tolerant.
Yes, tolerant. I love that word,
And one of those differences are linguistic differences.
Exactly.
And through those linguistic differences, we can sensitize it to the cultural differences. So for example, you know, we have days like Cinco de Mayo at our school. We have El Dia de los Muertos and everybody's like, oh, they're doing these evil things.
Day of the Dead.
You know, how people do this, Richard, why you couldn't do this, why are you doing this? And we're just like, all right, let's sensitize you to this.
Yeah, because what we don't understand, we say something is wrong with it.
Exactly.
And we've done that so many times.
Absolutely. And in order for our children to function effectively in this global village, we need them to understand that, listen, these differences exist. You don't have to believe in what they're advocating or what the reason of the rationale is behind it.
Because they have history.
You just need
to
know that this is what is out there, and you just need to be mindful of it.
Exactly. And if one day your child, for whatever reason, decides to go live and be, you know, something in that environment, it would help if they had some knowledge about it before.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, talking about the fact that I was seeking Fundaciones out from, I was pregnant with Sai, one of the big things that mothers, especially first-time moms, the thought is, oh my God, no, I have to find a school.
And I have to let go.
Yeah, I have to find a school.
Well, a lot of parents go into panic attack straight up because we get all the phone calls. Oh my gosh, do I need to register right now? Just like you.
So let me tell you why as well. Because I remember when I was doing my research about it, because I was like, I need to find a school that teaches a language as well. And I said, oh, Fundaciones, have I thought about that? I said, but you have to register them like a year before.
That's what people told you, right?
Yeah, that's what they told me. I said, people, why do I have to?
That,
why?
I mean, everybody likes to create hype. I mean, everybody wants to be considered an expert too. Every other mother is an expert. Every other teacher is an expert. It's just a people thing. So everybody's an expert and they want to always share their knowledge.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that what they're telling you is the right information. So they kind of do what they need to do to make sure that you're right. Quick. The reality is that once you get pregnant, truthfully, you should start really thinking long term. You
know, yeah.
Start thinking about your child's development. There are tons of stuff that you need to be doing,
mm-hmm.
right? And thinking about beyond birth is absolutely critical.
Of course.
And it's so critical that I have to just give a little plug here. The Early Child Commission is promoting this first 1,000 days app. And just promoting what you should be doing from the minute you conceive, right?
Nice.
Big things. You have to really start talking to the baby. You have to start thinking about how you're going to continue, what you're going to do for your self-care, how you're going to be there mm-hmm. to give your child everything you can give your child, including education, including your child's development, that sort of thing. But the reality is that things are different, and I don't think any two parents or any two moms specifically have the same exact experience.
No, you don't, ever.
So I always caution parents to check things out for yourself. So call around. You don't have to come to my school. Call mm-hmm. around all the schools. We have so many great schools in Jamaica.
We do. Right, we have a lot of good schools.
I mean,
yeah.
Private and public.
Yeah.
Right? There are about 2,700 early childhood institutions across the island. And right about now, we have almost 200 of them certified by the Early Childhood Commission. That means that they're offering high quality early childhood care and development.
Of course.
And that's a big, big thing. So one of the things you want to always encourage, one of the things that I encourage parents to do from the get-go is to look and say, listen, is this school certified by the Early Childhood Commission?
Mm-hmm.
The Early Childhood Commission is a regulatory body for all things early childhood in Jamaica, right? They do an amazing thing. It's a relatively young agency, a little over 10 years, but they have advanced the way we think in terms of early childhood.
Of course.
And people in Jamaica are still learning about what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we, but yeah. I just like to call
No, it's true. Everybody, we're all a part of it.
I've been a commissioner on the Early Childhood Commission, not presently, but I have, and mm-hmm. I just believe that they can receive so much more support, and they do such an amazing job.
I would take it for granted how important these years are, because
they're the most important years.
Because if you can get this, if you can get these years right, trust me,
you're Chris.
Good to go. So ask about the registration with the Early Childhood Development Commission.
Ask about registration or certification.
Certification.
Because that tells the family that they are being monitored. The school,
yeah.
the institution is being monitored. You know, there are certain requirements. There are 12 standards that need to be met.
Yeah.
And it keeps everybody accountable.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And you have to go where you kind of feel a vibe. So I'm kind of a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And I
get the energy.
But I kind of have to feel a connection, and you have to feel a connection too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go where you feel appreciated, where you feel valued, where you feel as if you can connect.
Yeah.
Right? And there are tons of amazing schools. And I think also something that we take for granted, you kind of have to look where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where you live, where is near to you,
yeah.
where is in your proximity, right? And I tell people all the time, I'm like, can I ask you a question? Where do you live? Oh, you live in this area? Oh, I have a friend, she has a great preschool. Check this person out. Check. So you don't want the money? Of course I want your money. But at the mm-hmm. same time, if you're going to spend an hour in traffic.
Exactly.
To me, the child is going to be sick. The child is
exhausted. Mercy.
By the time he comes out to the car, he's going to be sleepy. And we're going to have to spend 45 minutes getting him acclimatized and ready to transition. It's going to be a delay. It's going
yeah.
to take longer. It's not going to work to the
yeah.
benefit of all.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to be very practical. You want to ensure that you know your space is safe,
mm-hmm.
it's secure, it is one that you feel comfortable with the communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to kind of represent what you also want for your child.
Yeah.
So there are people that don't necessarily value or put emphasis on learning a foreign language, so don't come to that.
Exactly.
We have a school.
Feel no pressure.
We have our location.
Exactly.
There are
right around,
science,
yes,
right?
yes.
Check out one of our neighbors.
Yeah.
Check out one of them. They're just as good, if not even better in some respects. And
yeah.
I think that what moms need to remember is that everybody has a strength. It's
mm-hmm.
like when you're hiring people, right? You hire people because of a strength, right? But then when you employ them, you start to focus on the weakness,
mm-hmm.
right? You hire them because of their strengths.
Exactly.
So let us continue to expand and expand on those strengths, right?
I love
and
that.
Remember that the strengths are the reason why you're there. So let us ride on that. And you know, once you start riding on something, once you start magnifying something
yeah.
and digging it up and being grateful for it, it magnifies.
That's true.
So I think those things are important
mm-hmm.
for me. What else matters?
I think that, because for me, as I find something that you can afford as well.
I was just about to say
yeah.
that, budget.
Yeah.
Right? So, it matters.
It does. It very much matters.
Your financial sustainability is key,
yeah.
right? a lot of people complain, oh, this is too expensive, or this is all it is. Well, I don't know your pocket. You know your pocket best.
Yeah.
So you have to find something that you can afford. And remember that there are lots of other costs that come associated with sending a child off to school. You have uniform costs, you have lunch,
yes, exactly.
You know? So he wants to go and play football.
Mm-hmm. And swimming and piano.
And those are things that you want for them. Those may not necessarily be.
I was going to touch that.
But those are things that you want in terms of your goals, your vision for him or her to be a little bit more holistic.
Right.
And to develop.
And rounded, yeah.
That you want.
I was going to touch on that, but in a way where a lot of parents push their kids into activities that the kid themselves does not enjoy.
But you know what's the interesting part? When you're a young child, like once you start coming out to preschool, you're not really quite sure what you enjoy.
So like, I don't like bed. And I hadn't been swimming for a whole term. Si would fall on the whole place. And when he's at the swimming thing, and him pulling on a piece of tantrum and bawling, and his father says, let's just take him from swimming for now, and let's keep him at what he likes, which is football. He likes football. Let's
like
keep him there.
Interesting.
Yes.
But it's interesting because we get a chance as early childhood practitioners to also see where their interests lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we may have them a couple hours a day and we do a lot of observations. So they can say, okay, very tactile. Very hands-on. Okay, verbal. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good communicator. And it's through all of our observations, which are mandatory, by the way,
yeah.
as encouraged by the Early Childhood Act and regulations. Those are things that we have to be doing in these certified early childhood
mm-hmm.
institutions. Facilitating time to observe, to reflect,
yeah.
and to plan activities based on your children's interests. So that's another reason why you need to make sure they go to a school that's
exactly.
certified by the Early Childhood Commission.
Exactly.
Right. But it's interesting because I think what is most critical at the early childhood level is a partnership between home and school. So you need to have that communication. You need to know, mom, you know, he's not really enjoying swimming too much, as you see, he's been crying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe something's going on with the sensory stuff there, or mom is not following instructions at all. What's going on here? How is he at home? You get a lot of insight into what we see, and we can get a lot of insight into what you see and you observe and you live.
Yeah.
Right? We like to hear from parents a lot because parents, moms, your children's primary and first teacher and caregiver, you have them the most. Preschool, you have them for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're 24 hours in a day. You have them Saturday and Sunday all day. You know what they're like when they wake up, when they go to bed. You know them best. So it's always up to you to share. And
yeah.
I know sometimes parents want to get into a school. So I see a lot of parents come sometimes and they want to come into school. So all they're talking about is the child's strengths, which we want to hear about. So sometimes I'm like, okay, any notice, any red flags? No red flags.
Mm.
And then by the first day of school, we're like, okay. You know, like, okay, but she moved schools. How come she moved so many different schools in such a short period of time?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? So there are lots of ways that we can strengthen communication and just keep the lines of communication open.
Yeah.
Open, honest communication is critical because at the end of the day, what you want is your child to be developing as best and as fully as possible.
In as many ways as is possible.
Definitely.
Yeah. And talking about development, one of the things that I enjoyed seeing at Fundaciones when I started side there was just the very inclusive environment that the institution has and creates for kids with various needs.
Varied needs.
Yeah.
Yes, we're big on varied needs. We don't like to refer to them as anything other than
varied needs. Yeah.
Just because the reality is that we all have a variety of different needs.
Yeah.
Children do too. Not everyone in a class is going to learn the same way. No, in every single
mm-hmm.
solitary class, regardless of age, you have to make sure that what you do as an educator is differentiate.
Yeah.
Now, people don't like to do that because it's more work.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to meet the spatial needs, you have to meet the oral needs, you have to do a lot of different balancing and juggling, and
yeah.
that takes time, energy, and in many cases, resources,
mm-hmm.
right? But it is absolutely critical. You do yourself an injustice and you do your kids an injustice if you don't do that. Interestingly enough, in the last couple of years, what we started to see was an increase in these numbers, in these varied needs numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm no varied needs expert, but I decided that, okay, we need to get some more support.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking to a parent like, so you're an expert, you're a special educator? No, I'm not, mommy. But my varied needs coordinator is,
mm-hmm.
she has a wealth of experience working with families and she's a this. Oh, does she? Yep, and they will listen to her. And then we just see a lot. We have children with language delays, with expressive language issues. We have children that we believe are on the spectrum. Some of them that are on the spectrum. We have children with cerebral palsy. We have Down syndrome. We have a variety of needs. But what matters the most to me is that everybody is able to come and join the same class.
Yeah.
And that we can find a way to offer support. So whether that support is coordinating sessions with a therapist or with a psychologist or with a doctor outside of school, maybe having that person come into school for half an hour, 3 days a week. We do what we need to do. We will help you coordinate and write your individualized education plan, because at the end of the day, we just want each child to be the best that they can be.
Of course.
I know it sounds so...
No, but it's beautiful, but though, but that's why you want to send your child to
space.
No, it is.
It takes a lot of coordination, and we have the most amazing person that goes between our schools. Her name is Kristen Fullwood, and she is our very nice coordinator. And believe you me, she has taught us so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And since she's been there, we have had so many children that have come through our doors with needs, and we have seen such amazing
improvement. Yes,
amazing progression. Like, you just feel so. Like, I just feel so grateful that she's there.
Yeah, one of the things I love seeing as well is when I go to the school and I see all the kids playing together, regardless of those needs.
Yeah.
Like, they're helping each other, they're coloring with each other,
they will argue with you.
Yes.
Like, don't you know that she doesn't like noise? Why are you screaming? Don't scream. She does not want to hear you scream. She's gonna cry if you scream. I'm like, okay,
oh wow.
I'm sorry. Bit. Let's do it again. You know, in our Montego Bay school, we have a little one who is confined to a wheelchair, right? And the children take turns every day pushing her. Who's going to push her?
Ooh.
You know, she can't sit at a regular table and chair as the rest of them, but they all take turns. Okay, let me feed her. I have to feed her. Move. It's my turn. Okay, let's give her this to play with now. Okay, you want this? You want this? And they
were
full on stress this week because she's away with her mom and dad.
Oh, Lord.
Like, Where is she? And it evolved into more because the older kids, some of the primary kids last year, they were doing an end of year project, so they were designing things. They were creating solutions to resolve problems in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, it's an upstairs and downstairs school. So the primary kids are upstairs, the early childhood kids are downstairs, and they designed an elevator.
They designed an elevator?
Like, when she reaches primary, she's going to have to go upstairs, and she can't go upstairs in the wheelchair. So we're gonna have to find a way to get an elevator. So they, with the help of the teacher, they designed this elevator. So it, for me, it's more like
Rachel, you're giving me like I have tears.
Those are the kinds of
children
that we have, and that's what matters to me. So seeing the children come up with solutions for their friends.
But think about the ripple effect of that mental position, though. What kind of human beings we are developing if they
kind of human beings that we want to develop more.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's what matters to me. Like, I mean, just to be truthful here now. So yes, I went to Campion. I grew up in the Jamaica where intelligence was valued, and you have to get a good grade and you have to pass a common entrance.
Mm-hmm.
You should really get a government scholarship if you really want to do well. But the reality is that, you know, we're kind of valuing creativity a little bit more, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking more than. And I know certain people don't want to hear this, but it's kind of true. Like, every child will not be able to go to Campion. And just because you don't go to Campion won't mean that you won't have a shot at success.
Honey, I'm from Clarendon. Okay?
Right.
And I used to go to Hayes Primary and Junior High School. I went to Clarendon College. Three bus come back to my yard.
Three bus.
At a six vehicle in one day. Okay?
And look at you, girl.
Okay? And I went to UA, and then,
exactly.
I think people are now understanding it even more now in this part of the world where we're understanding that it doesn't really matter where you come from, really. And you have as you touch on academic excellence, we're also understanding that it's not a guarantee that you will
that
be.
Because you go through the system and you graduate at the top of your class, that you're going to be given a job.
Exactly. Right. You have some very qualified people still sitting there waiting.
That is true. And I think we as a society have to start valuing emotional intelligence a little bit more than we do IQ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So again, those four C's, that critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity, those are the four C's that really drive this whole global type of education, right? So that's what we really need to be encouraging persons to do. So
this obsession with curriculum and achieving big in academics and ensuring that you're getting that A.
Let me tell
You must certainly get that A.
You remember, you know, education is something that no one can take away from you. Education is something that we were slapped into doing. I mean, you go to school.
Slap is right.
It's a slap for it. Right? I mean,
slap is right.
No, but I mean, you get 2 wrong in your spelling, you get beaten. Mm-hmm. 2 wrong in your spelling, that's still good.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? You know, but we need to start sensitizing families, moms. I hope you're listening really, really well. We need to start sensitizing persons to the fact that what really matters is promoting creativity.
Yeah.
All right, so I say it again, collaboration, critical thinking, communication. Did I say it right? Communication, critical thinking, creativity, and collaboration. Those to me are the most important things.
The four C's.
Richard Branson got kicked out of his fancy boarding school in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That didn't stop him.
Mark Zuckerberg stopped school, decides I'm not going back to no more university. That's it.
So we really need to start changing the way we think about education, right? We have had a major change in education in the last year, one that has been met with very mixed feelings. So we have moved towards a national standard curriculum, which is a curriculum right throughout primary up to, I believe, grade 9. And we now do these PEP exams, primary exit profile exams, that you do in grade 4, grade 5, grade 6. Oh my goodness, everybody complain, everybody mm-hmm. complain. This is rubbish, it's rubbish. But I love it. I mean, I really love
Tell me why.
I love it because of what it exposes children to. So I have the greatest time teaching my primary kids, right? The curriculum is what it is, but it is not set in stone that you have to teach it this way, you have to teach it this way, you have to teach it this way. We still have time to give our kids literature books to read. So my kids just finished, and one of them in grade 3, I think, just read The Secret Garden. One of them just did The Call of the Wild. They're reading classics. And my mom said to me, classics, I don't see anything about classics on the national standards curriculum. I said, no, it's not on the national. Well, why are you wasting my time having children do this? I said, well, they have to learn about paragraphs. They have to learn about structure. They have to learn about speech. They have to learn about quotation marks. They have to learn all those things. And guess what? We're able to do that through the classics.
Exactly.
Right? I said, we're also getting an opportunity for children to see good context, mm-hmm. right? Good grammatical structure. Because you don't see that a lot anymore. And
exactly.
Children's writing.
Oh, yeah.
They're
writing text language,
so,
lol.
Oh, lol. I mean, you know, well, I mean, you know, missing vowels. I mean, seriously, it's killing me. But we get a chance to really encourage children to do things differently. We get a chance to take kids on a whole lot of field trips.
Yeah.
So we really get a chance to push what you call a hands-on learning. And children learn best when they make a connection. So whether that connection is through song, whether it's through touching, whether it's through seeing, whether it's through experiencing it, you want to give your child as many opportunities as possible to learn.
Yeah.
So what it really is telling you is that you don't have to learn by rote anymore. So gone are the days when you sit down with your book and you swap, and your mother take you up with your book and you swap and memorize. You don't have to do it like that anymore. You should not be doing it like that mm-hmm. in the beginning, but it was an easy way of pay to just memorize. And you could get through common entrance, you could get through all your other exams by rote memorization.
Right? Yeah.
This one, it's harder to Jamaicans and many people because you have to ensure that your children learn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you, the educator, you're held accountable. So how are you going to make sure that your children are learning?
Yeah.
Okay, what are we going to do differently? Let's do this project. Let's do this project. But a lot of the parents still end up taking it over, right?
Yeah.
So personally, we got through year one of PEP without 100,000 different extra lessons,
mm-hmm.
without having to swat and give tons and tons of homework. Mm-hmm. Children were in their beds, or I hope they were in their beds at a particular time every night.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need to be in a class all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And it worked for our first batch,
yeah.
right? And we just wanted to make sure that it worked. Like, please let it work, because if this is what it claims to be, then we could be able to rock it with this approach.
Of course.
We were able to rock it with that approach. So do your investigations, do your research. It is something that I love.
Yeah.
I love what it allows us to do, and I love the skills that it gives our kids, right? It's not a walk in the park. Children have to be trained now because they have not been trained to really learn.
Exactly.
They have been trained to
think
receive,
because, yeah.
They have been trained that SWOT
and SWOT and regurgitate.
And regurgitate.
Yeah.
We were taught that way too.
We were. ABRC. That's it.
God. As teachers, as
parents, yeah.
you know, as facilitators, to do things different.
Because it challenges the human mind. It does. It asks for you to think.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
You know, something that we probably should talk about is the fact that we need to fail.
Yes, and yeah. how we feel about the F word.
It is so hard because nobody wants their child to fail. And
yeah.
I understand it. I mean, I'm 39 next month, and my mother, she was like, God, you can't fail. Let me fix it.
What is an F?
Let me fix it.
I believe you get an F.
You can't fix it.
Yeah.
So I know the mother's instinct is real, and as a mother, you do anything in your power to protect your child. But sometimes you really have to do bad and you have to learn the lesson. And I'm not saying that through you get the lesson, you understand it. But maybe by the time you're 10, maybe by the time you're 12, you're 13, you're in high school, you understand consequences, right? And you have to start finding meaning in everything. And you as an adult, you have to kind of guide. So what happened here? What do you think you could have done differently? How can we plan for this not to happen again? What do you think would work? What can we do differently? All of those things are so important. And, you know, failure, we have to take away the stigma attached to failure, that because you fail, nothing will happen to you. You'll lose your chances. There is always another opportunity to succeed. And we have to start using our fall downs or failures as stepping stones to get to the next level. And children also not only need to sometimes fail a little bit, but they need to see us failing. So we don't like to make children see us messing up at all. They need to see us mess up, and it's important that they see us correcting.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Understand that there is a chance still. It doesn't mean the end of the world. Like, you can actually, and it's managing our emotions when that happens, and not offloading our feelings on them. And how you do this, and you're going like, you know, in a sense, and this talking down to the child, and not
it's
understanding
hard for it, parents, because we have been talked down too.
Yeah,
it's hard for us to step out of this realm when everything we're trying not to do has been done to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is just something that's going to take time, and it's something that we have to be consistent about.
And conscious. And just really
consistent,
conscious. Yeah.
Moms, get in your groups and just remind each other of what you want to achieve. Remind, no, you don't need to do it like this. Come on, rethink it. Talk it through with him. Don't behave like this. And I know sometimes in the heat of the emotion, and when the traffic back up and then the bills back up, and then him start to give you some trouble. And
it's an overload, honey.
It's
Jesus.
It's overload on you. And I mean, we're people, we have emotions, you know, we crack,
mm-hmm.
we crack, and it gets rough. It really gets wrong.
Talk about the importance of listening to the kids, because I know that in your environment, teaching them is one thing, but listening to them.
I hear so much.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just really have to listen. You get a lot of insight. And you know, when I hear so many stories, like, but I have made a conscious effort to just sit and listen. So I had lunch on Wednesday with some of my primary kids. And it's just really cool to hear perspective. Like, you think things differently. Like, I was asking them, I'm like, so what do you like about Fundaciones? And the things that they mentioned, I never even thought that they observed or they were mindful of. We hear stories about children and families, and they come to us. Sometimes they're embellished, I must admit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are. But sometimes you just have to sift through and find the sense and find the meaning in what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't tell you things explicitly. They tell you piece, and you have to put it together and really understand what is happening. But it is critical to listen. Mummies, you see the time dropping off in the morning and picking up in the evening, you can get all information in that time. You can't just go to them and say, how is school? Good, bad. What did I school today? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to always hear very stock answers, very standard answers, very basic answers. You need to get into the meat of the matter. So you need to be like, anybody went in time out today?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever at their lunch. Ask very open-ended questions. Questions that are going to get them to think, right? And ask about the drama, because there's always excitement to tell. And even if there's no drama, the brain starts to think about something else that happened last week that was dramatic, and you get a chance to hear the stories. But I find that so many mummies are on the telephone in the morning, you know, everybody's on their phone, and the children are sitting down in the car or in the taxi or anywhere, and everybody's busy because you're on the phone, you're WhatsApping, you're talking, and they are left to either sometimes even be on their own phone and their own tablet.
Yeah.
There's no communication, you know, there's no interaction, there is no engagement, and we really need to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, because then we need to hear if there are things that we have to
hear.
Yeah.
I mean, parents have heard recently about bullying, and I mean, these are things that affect your child's psychological.
It does.
You know, development, his emotional development, physical development. You need to know what is happening at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us five things that we can, maybe, okay.
Give me
maybe
things.
Not five. Give me some things that we can actually do outside of school. When we come home, and especially the little ones
run
as well.
And play. Go outside.
Go outside.
Yes. Remember when we were children, we used to ramp outside?
Yes.
Until you want to tell it to come inside?
True. And dirty
go
up and chip up and something.
It's okay for them to fall down. It's okay for them to play in dirt. It's okay for them to ramp. Just go outside with them and ramp. Run wild. Play with them. Hug them up.
Yeah.
Right? I think the nicest thing ever is just when a child hugs you.
Like, I love it. I look forward to seeing it. I love it. I love when I'm picking up Sai in the evenings and he sees and he runs home.
If you are a mother of a young child, you need to be reading every single solitary night.
Yeah.
The benefits to reading to young children, numerous, amazing, phenomenal, do it. So read every night or every day, whenever it works best for you, but you need to be reading.
Okay.
It's so important for you to read to young children that story time is mandatory in early childhood institutions. Every single solitary day, ask questions, right? Get involved, just go, you know you're dramatic, good, so just act it,
yeah,
point, you know, just go into character with,
yeah,
the child. Don't reserve it, don't hold back, just,
yeah,
all in the child. Do as many things as possible with your child, take them everywhere, expose them, you know, keep them safe, but expose them,
yeah,
and just play.
Yeah. And lastly, as we wrap up, I want to talk about allowing your child's individuality to come out.
So this
and
one
personality.
Is tough. This one is tough because everybody has a preconceived idea of the kind of kid that they want, mm-hmm, to have, right? So I was supposed to have been a doctor, remember?
Yeah, because daddy's a doctor, hello?
For me. Boring. Okay, but to wear sneakers. Well, I could probably wear sneakers.
Yep, yeah.
But I probably would have still had the nose knot and the tears all over me, but it would have been a whole different context. Children are different. And I understand that you bring the child into the world, so you want your child to be a certain way. But boy, you have to just allow them to be. Right?
Yes.
You have to allow them to be. And when I say be, I mean be. Right? You don't know how they're going to turn out. Right? You know, it's rough and it is so, it's very difficult. And I use the word politically because I have seen children, I've seen boys who are very affectionate, who want to play with dolls, right?
Mm.
And your mom's like, you make him come over to school, come to your school to play with no doll. I said, but you're making him play with soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of what's the difference? So soldiers are tough. I'm like, all right. And years later, you see the progression of that child's interest. You see how he evolves. He's the most compassionate kid, but he's not that rough and tough, tumble, soldier, aggressive man.
Yeah.
That you want him to be.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with how he has turned out. You understand? You know, parents want their children to be this. They want them to play all these sports, and I have to play sports, and I have to play for this, and I have to. Really? You see, when that child decides that this is the trajectory that,
yeah,
he's on, you can try your best to take them.
Or even if a child, you know what I find interesting as well, like, because the idea of or you know, gender and roles and such, and when you find a child that are a male child, a boy who wants to cry, you know, he wants to express himself, he's crying, and you tell him shut up because
boys don't cry. You must be tough, what are you crying for?
Yeah,
you know, and it's rough, but again, that's how we've been sensitized, right?
Yeah.
All of us got those lectures, you don't give yourself to cry, but boys don't cry, right?
Yeah,
girls don't sit like that. You know, you don't do that, you don't do this. This
girls don't play football.
Girls don't play football, right? You're supposed to be a lady. Mm-hmm. Do this, do that. You're like, ugh, all right, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your children may comply for a little bit, right? But once they're ready to just be who they are, they're going to be who they are. So the option is up to you. Allow them to be who they are from now, or eventually they will do it. It may be a little bit of a hardship because they may end up falling out with you, argue with you.
Exactly.
But eventually it all comes, yeah, to fruition.
And a child just want to feel loved and supported, really.
They,
yeah,
they need to feel loved and supported.
Yeah.
They have to. And if you don't love and support them, you know, they're going to find someone else who can love and support them. And that is a problem because you find that sometimes they take up with some people that you don't want to be the ones that love and support them. They join gangs.
Exactly.
It's a whole serious thing. And if you have a boy, boys are always going to need male influence.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of single moms are out there raising boys. Try find a brother. Find an uncle.
A good brethren.
That you feel comfortable enough to just offer some insight and interaction with your son, because,
yeah,
boys need males.
Yeah, they do.
They really, really do.
They do. Thank you so much, Rachel.
You.
I really
thank
enjoy
you.
This conversation, and thank you for the
thank
insight and new perspective. I know this is going to help a lot of us. A lot of us mummies.
And I think what we need to remember is that the conversation doesn't have to stop.
Yeah.
At the end of the podcast.
It doesn't. That's the reason we have to continue
you
it.
Know, I know your social media is awesome. So bring up the questions, talk,
yes.
Mention me. Let's just talk. Let's just join the conversation. And let's yeah. just keep the conversation.
We need the support, man.
You know,
we
the
do.
Support. All of us do.
We do.
It's not a one size fits.
It's not. It's certainly it's not.
You know
but
I mean?
Still.
And we need to remember that. So if Debbie's doing something and you're not doing it, don't feel like you're a
failure. No, you're not. It's just that it don't work for everybody. Like,
yeah.
it just
varies.
Doesn't. It varies, yeah.
You know, and that doesn't make you any less of a mom.
Yeah. We're doing the best that we can. That's the truth about it. You know,
yeah.
we're all doing the
yeah.
very best that we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And whenever time you're ready to join our moms, our League of Moms, we are here with open arms. we're no, it's very flat. I know it is.
That's,
I just
say.
Yeah, but you know, just know that you have a place here.
Well, I'm looking forward to that
time.
I'm
now. Okay.
2021, maybe.
Maybe.
You never know.
Bye. That's it.
Thank you.